just a closer walk with thee.
Patsy Cline there on KPTZ, and it's 12:30 here in Port Townsend, and time once again for Bureaucracy Now. I'm Taylor Clark, and I'm here with my esteemed co-host, John Morrow.
Thank you, Taylor.
Port Townsend City Manager, and we have as our guest today Laura Parsons, who's a part of the city engineering team. And we're going to be talking about Discovery Road.
Yes. I'm excited because Laura has been a force for this project. And to have her, you've been on the air. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you.
You've done this before. But this is exciting. Maybe you could tell us why right now is exciting.
Because it's about to kick off, isn't
it? It's about to kick off. Yes. I was going to Laura tell us about the kickoff. We're doing this in advance of real things happening on Discovery
Road. We can just turn my mic.
Well, Laura and I, I'm sure, could have a great conversation. So, we were going to dedicate this show to Discovery Road and the changes that the community will soon see become the dream that we've had for Discovery Road, and largely on the backs of our team really thinking through the project over multiple years, getting great amounts of state and federal funding to really, so we were just hoping to kind of unpack the project, what it's going to look like so people aren't surprised. And the best person to tell that story really is Laura. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, John.
Yeah. And give us the quick, whoa, this is happening. What's happening? And when does it actually start?
Happy to do that. So it's starting on October 9th. So that's coming right up here in a few weeks. We're going to have a soft start, we're calling it, where we'll be putting out signs, variable message boards, and doing some surveying. And then the heavy equipment's going to come in starting around the end of October, October 30th. So
that's good timing, because I know there's another project that's not a city project, but we've been working heavily on Kearney.
Yes.
And that's going to wrap up around the same time this starts. Just a little bit of overlap, but it's pretty good timing, yeah?
Yeah, it's great timing. Mm. We're so happy this project is starting. It's been in the works since 2020, and so, or even longer, it's been on the books, but since 2020, we've been working on the design. So we're excited to be at this point in the project where we can actually get started. So the project is going to be amazing. We're going to have totally new road surface from the Rainier Street Roundabout to Salish Coast Elementary School. There's going to be sidewalks on both sides of the street and a two-way bikeway on the south side of the street. We're going to be putting in street lights. There'll be enhanced pedestrian crossings over Discovery Road. There will be all the poles are coming down. All the power and overhead utilities are being undergrounded. We're going to be putting in a cul-de-sac at 14th and Discovery, which is really an exciting change for that section of the road. It's just going to completely change the feel of the neighborhood for make it a little more residential feeling and slow all the traffic down.
So the cul-de-sac at 14th currently runs into Discovery Road, correct?
Yes.
And so the idea is that you're going to close that off so that that neighborhood now has, they're not a pass through on the way to Discovery Road anymore.
Correct. Yes.
Could I also ask a clarifying question?
Of course.
I might know the answer, but one of the things that all cities are often faulted for is you're going to do this brand new pavement, reconstruct road, two sidewalks and a bike facility. Amazing. And then you're probably going to 6 months later, dig it up to put a new water treatment, piece or another, piece of infrastructure in. Can you tell us how that's been thought through? Because I think, am I right, Discovery Road also incorporates a little bit of stormwater and water lines, that kind of thing? Or have we thought that through?
Oh, absolutely, yes. So, there's an older water line that's under the road currently, and so that one is going to be abandoned, and a new one is going to be put in. And that's going to be primarily done, by the roundabout heading towards 14th. And then there's a few little other places along the stretch of the project where we'll be doing some water line upgrades as well as sewer line upgrades. And then, stormwater, as you mentioned, is a big part. We're going to have a swale on the north side of the road to take in some of the drainage. We'll have a new pipe going down the south side of the road, and it'll, disperse in a, right-of-way area.
What's a swale?
a, a ditch with grass growing in it, which will absorb the storm water and treat it.
There's another name for those here. I can't remember. A water.
We have a rain garden.
Rain gardens.
Yeah.
Similar. This is a little different. It's the same idea, but it's it'll have less specific plants that are, like downtown, we have very specific plants for treating the storm water. So up here on Discovery Road, it'll be more of a grassy swale, which is also going to work wonders, for the drainage up there.
I mean, there's so much to talk about here. Maybe a couple things that first to my mind are, well, has there been community involvement on this? Because my goodness, this is a big deal. And have people had a chance to have their say?
Absolutely. There's been quite a bit of community involvement in the project. It started out in the fall of 2020 with an online survey where we solicited input from the wider community about just design features and things about the road that folks would like to see improved. We also have, solicited input from the adjacent neighbors and had several neighborhood meetings, which has been very exciting.
You've been sighted out there even recently, spending like a whole day out there talking with folks.
We had a great meeting with the neighbors, just giving them an update about the upcoming construction. And we met actually with the construction management folks from the design firm who are going to be involved, and they were able to answer some of the questions too. And it was just, it was a good thing. I think everybody's very ready for the project to get going and excited for the changes to come. And we also, as part of the public process, had stakeholder meetings, and those happened in 2021. And that included folks who might have a special interest in the project, like the Salish Coast Elementary School principal was part of that. Also leadership for DASH, Disability Awareness Starts Here group, was another member of that stakeholder community meeting series. So that was great. And then ultimately we got approval from council in May of 2021 for the concept design for the project. And once we got the thumbs up from council, we moved forward with the specific engineering plans.
Which, I mean, if you do go and look at the specific engineering, it's very engineering and it's very specific. I mean, it's kind of incredible to see 100% design of something as a layperson like me, because I don't have an engineering, credential. It's really technical work. And to take something, so complicated and actually get it on paper is kind of extraordinary. The other thing that's extraordinary to me is, my goodness, we're a town of like barely 10,000 people. How the heck do we pay for something that probably costs millions of dollars?
We're very fortunate in that we received some very generous grants over the years. It took a couple of years to gather up the funds to be able to do a complete reconstruction of the road, meaning both sides of the road and, resurfacing as well as doing the underground work. So the grants that we received came from the Washington State Transportation Improvement Board. That was about a $2.5 million grant. WashDOT's pedestrian and bicycle program also provided a $1.4 million grant, federal surface transportation grant. Then these grants all require a match from the city. So then there's city funding that comes to help provide for that match. And so that might be, as an example, like a water upgrades, waterline upgrades, that would be paid, the match part of that would be paid with the city water fund.
Maybe check, this is my live sense check of what I remember from 2021, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, and I invite you to correct me, especially if I'm wrong here, the match is, I think it's somewhere around 12.5%.
Yes.
And we actually leveraged one of the TIB grant as match for something, right?
Yes.
Cleverly.
Yes.
So we had less match we needed to put in because we leveraged grants on each other.
Yeah. Well, much better than I could. That's perfect.
I think is, I just want to shout that out, because that's the ingenuity of the team, because at the end of the game, we get more money. But actually, we don't have to put as much up, because what's coming out of City Match is from stormwater and water funds, things that are enterprise funds. So we don't have a choice. We pay for it, and it has to be self-sustaining funds. But we don't have to draw on them as much if we are using another grant to match a grant. So it's a really clever move by the city staff and by you. So very well done. What's the total sum here on the project cost?
The total sum is $5.5 million. Yeah, so it's a big project for Port Townsend,
Small fraction of city funds.
That was just about to ask. What's the fraction of city funds? We should have put this in a spreadsheet.
Well,
it's pretty small, though, isn't it?
I mean, it's looking at it's the, probably, what, 20-25% of the total or less?
Less than that, less. Yeah.
Okay. So it's good. It's good leverage. That's how we have to do it in a small community is we got to go after these sources like we've done a lot and like we're increasingly doing, and that actually can give us the facilities we need. So this is a big win for the community.
I'd like to add something too that's important here is, so the money that was received through these grants is specifically for this project.
Nice. Yes.
It's you know, and so that the money that we receive from the state and the federal government has to be spent on the design and construction of Discovery Road. We can't take some of this money and put it into potholes repairs somewhere else.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a wonderful project. We're going to be getting rid of a lot of potholes on that stretch anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's very
right.
Different. Yeah.
The road is really a mess. I mean, I'm on it almost every day, and it's an absolute disaster. And so it's nice to imagine it being better. And I'm also really pleased by the engagement that you spoke to earlier and how you can go and like walk through the story map. You can kind of get a sense, maybe that's a little dated since the decision, but it kind of gives the community a feel of what it looks like. I don't know if you wanted to speak to how we told that story and how we worked that through with the community.
Yeah. I mean, this project has been, you know, in the dream of the community for, you know, years and years. I've heard it's 20 years, you know, long before either you or I were working for the city.
That's right.
So it's just been, there's been the idea that we really need to be able to connect that part of town with the, you know, area around the school for bikes and peds, and then also repair the road in the meantime. Mm. And so, yeah, the story map, it's a link online in the project website section of the city webpage. And it just has a lot of maps showing the area and talking about the history and just talking about the priority of bike and pedestrian facilities and the importance for our greater community to have those facilities available for all. And for making our roads where we can, inviting to all types of users, you know, from those who are, you know, fearless on their bikes to those who might be a little cautious and reluctant to get on their bikes until they are sure they have a safe space to.
That's, well said.
Yeah.
If you are just joining us, we are talking.
Welcome. Stay with us.
Yes, please do stay with us. We're talking to Laura Parsons, who's part of our city engineering team and is working on the Discovery Road project. And this would be a good time to remind listeners, you can email questions to dj@kptc.org. And I'm keeping an eye on it. I don't always see them, but I'm trying.
We'll get questions after construction starts, I'm pretty sure.
When
people, I mean, it's just inevitable, right? We talk about this on the air a lot.
Fear of change.
Well, it's fear of change, but it's also like I do the same thing in my neighborhood. When I see something change, I go, why did that happen? And how did I not know about that yet? And maybe the change is excellent. And I'm hoping this is a truly excellent change. It doesn't matter if you're walking, biking, rollerblading, driving, you know, skiing, it doesn't this project is going to be for you. Maybe not that last one. It's a really great project, and we'd love for people to understand the origin, the cost share. I mean, the point that you made, Laura, about how, you know, all that state and federal funding, we cannot reallocate to something else or we'd be breaking the law and probably not receive much federal or state funding into the future. So, I mean, just to help understand some basic concepts, it'll make people feel like this is a real win instead of being like, why the heck are they closing this for a little while? Because we're rebuilding the whole darn road.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually we're making it a much better facility.
Are we closing it?
You want to speak to that, Laura? Yeah.
Yeah. So the plan is to not close Discovery Road during construction. We are still in process developing the traffic control plan with the contractor, which is Seton Construction. Right now, we're weighing out some different options. One possibility is closing half the road while construction happens on that side and then having traffic go on the other side. I don't want to say too much detail because we're still in process, but we, of course, are going to make sure that everyone has access to their homes and to the side streets, and that will not be forgotten. We're actually going to be having a meeting here shortly with, you know, like the garbage service and the bus service and the school buses and police department, fire department, and the U.S. Postal Service to flesh out out the details.
They're all users of the street.
Yeah, everybody. I mean,
it's an important. Yes. It's an important piece of infrastructure for most of us. I mean, it's basically the only other way in or out of town. You know, I mean, there are other clever ways to get around.
But it is apparently the original way in and out of town. That's the old road.
So that's partly why this is such a critical project, and I think why it attracted state and federal funding. And, you know, it's not just a road for cars, it's a road for everybody. So.
Yeah, and I wanted to say, applying for these grants is a big process in of itself, and it takes the whole team to do that, from the engineering staff coming up with estimates. There's some plan, input from planning regarding the permitting and environmental considerations. And so it is, it takes at least 5 to 6 people to make a grant application happen. And then John gets to sign it as well. That's all part of it.
Multiple times. Yeah. I have the easiest job. But I mean, maybe it's the time to shout out to people like Sarah Tiffany, who plays such a big role here, to Tyler Johnson, who play a huge role here. I mean, there are probably others that you would know exactly what they've done as part of the project.
Judy Server.
Judy's been a big part of it. You mentioned the planning piece. I mean, Laura is also very humble. I mean, you've really been spearheading this, though. Individually, you have given the most amount of time and dedication to this project throughout the last several years. So that's why you're here, is because you're a good storyteller. And also, you've been really, just shepherding the whole project itself.
I love this project. I'm so excited for it to happen.
Me too.
And I was just talking with Nicole at Jefferson Transit. She also is very excited for the project to happen. And so are many others. And it's just the community support's really important.
What's the excitement from Jefferson Transit's point of view? Just to make the ride smoother? John is.
Try driving anything down that road. It's pretty jiggly. But what's the real answer?
Well, that I think is probably part of it. But also, too, I mean, they're going to do some upgrades to their stops along the way, including some new shelters at the bus stops and everything. Also are contributing in that sense to the cost of the project by, putting in those kind of facilities. So,
Okay, so let's just quickly review. You mentioned that the start of this overlaps slightly with the end of the Kearney Street roundabout project. Is that about a week of overlap?
The actual hard construction is probably about a week. Although, let me just say, things change.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. It's like, we want to be clear in our communications, and we want to be consistent. But there's quite a lot of things out of our control. And so, for instance, as Kearney's going on, that's like literally not a city project.
Right.
We've been heavily engaged.
You don't know when it's going
to happen. Washdot's
really
call, right? So we kind of have this heads up, and we've been working on it together. The team's been just integral to that piece of infrastructure being built right now. I was just down there in the dark this morning checking it out. But it's kind of up to Washdot to the whens and the whats. Even this, I mean, we're dependent upon contractors, right? So there's lots of pieces that come together, and some unpredictable things can happen. So just setting the expectations, Laura, it's great that we will be starting the soft launch on October 9th. So you'll see things happening on October 9th. A couple weeks later, there will be some degree of traffic control, because there'll be hard infrastructure going in and changes and digging and, some real work. Maybe even ballparking the finish line, giving some sense of
that,
like,
was going to be my next question.
Okay.
How long do we think it's going to take? And
over to you, Laura.
Yeah, sure. So it's a 7-month project. So we have 140 working days, and those are working days during the week. So we're anticipating we'll probably finish in May or so.
It's quite a long project, isn't it?
It is a long project, but it's a big project. So these things all, construction
takes time.
Now,
what's the time-consuming part? I mean, is it that you have to dig up and replace infrastructure,
It all takes time. It's hard to say one's like the most time consuming, but I mean, we also are going to have to be working in the wintertime, so there will be some weather delays that may come up, but we can't predict what those are. And for each project it's different. Like when we did Water Street back in 2018, we only had one day of weather delay, and that was a 6-month project. So maybe we'll get lucky and it'll be similar for this, but I can't say yet.
It's kind of just, we pledge honesty here on the radio. We sometimes don't know, because we can't control the weather and can't control other agencies, but it's good for people to have a sense. This is going to take a little while. It's going to start soon. And I can hope that most people will see this as an awesome improvement. So let the questions come in, and let's drive people to our website, because that's where project information's at.
I could also say something about that too. So there's many different ways, you know, the community can be connected with this project. So, you know, you can sign up for email updates, and there's an option to do that on the city website. You can also just look at the city website. There's a whole section that's about the Discovery Road Project. Folks, of course, are always welcome to contact me directly, either via email or phone. Yeah, and so we also have a newsletter that goes out to the adjacent property owners. So they can kind of be apprised of what's coming right in their neighborhood. We also, you know, have regular kind of updates that'll come out, like I said, in the email. We've done utility newsletter articles before. Maybe we'll do another one over the course of the project. Mm-hmm. So social media sometimes is another piece in this too. So there's lots of ways to stay connected. Well,
something must be going right in the communication, because we haven't had any questions, and that I would take as encouraging, because I do recall there's been a lot of community engagement on this over the course of the last few years. So it's exciting that we're getting down to
how so say you're thinking, okay, what does this mean for traffic flow and speed and blah blah blah, how fast, what's the posted limit going to be for speed on the street?
It'll be 25 miles per hour, when we're done with this project. And currently, I think that is the posted speed limit, but I don't think that's the speed people are going.
No,
but
no.
I think there will be enough traffic calming features in this project.
I was just going to ask, the updated road is going to encourage that speed?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So the enhanced pedestrian crossings that there will be, there's four of them that'll be raised. So they'll be kind of like speed tables that you see in front of the Blue Heron Middle School.
A little bit like F Street.
There'll be islands. You know, there'll be medians as well. There's quite a few things that will help slow down folks, including, you know, bulb outs at the intersections. And the bikeway itself will be raised the whole length of the project. So if you're coming from a side street, you will have to go over the raised bikeway to turn out onto Discovery Road, which will slow people down too.
Yeah, I think one of the things I know Laura's a champion for, and we're lucky to live in a community that largely, unless you're in a hurry trying to get through our very small town somewhere, generally we have, I think, a value set of, like, you know, we care about safety. We care about kind of just making sure we take care of each other and making sure that we have access no matter what vehicle or two legs or, you know, what's on the road. And it's nice to see that show up. It's nice to see us complete and continue to make progress in our non-motorized, you know, active transportation network. And to hear people call out for, well, we want some traffic calming, you know? And so it's one of the things we respond to most. And it's actually one of my favorite things of living here is that, you know, streets are important. We have a lot of them. A lot of them are in terrible condition. But, you know, as a community, we've said, look, we want to make these places, you know, accessible, where everyone feels a sense of belonging and safety. And I think that's part of what makes a strong town. And this is a big project for
I'm
that.
Just going to focus on the word calm. Let's all stay calm.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's all keep our driving calm, too. Yeah.
There's one more calming feature I can mention, too, which are trees. So trees will actually visually narrow a street. And so just having that sense that the street is narrow makes folks have an impulse to slow down, which is a good thing.
That's good
so news. We will have some trees along the project. They'll be spaced well, so that we can still do our maintenance of the grassy swales that we were talking about before. Okay. But it'll look different.
Well, I'm going to say thank you, Laura, for coming in and talking to us.
You're
about
welcome.
It.
Thanks for all your hard work, too, on the project.
And I'm going to say, John, I think you have an item there.
Yeah.
That we have just a couple more minutes.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to, I do feel bad for people who have to only listen to me. They love listening to you when I don't have a guest. And so it's like, you know, Laura saved my bacon today. Thank you. And then next week we'll have a guest. So so it won't just be me. I believe Rob Berman from Centrum, who's also on the PT Main Street, the Creative District Board, is going to be joining me because
next week.
Next week. Cause there's a couple things that are happening, and I just a shout out and kind of tease folks, at the Cotton Building, downtown on Wednesday, the 11th and also Thursday, the 12th at different times. There will be, one's at the Cotton Building, one's at the Fort Worden Commons, but next in a couple weeks, there are going to be convenings of the Creative District, which means, we want to hear, what people have to say about the development of a arts and culture plan. And it's really the 3 to 5 year blueprint for what the Creative District activities will be to support our creative economy. And it's a great chance to crowdsource ideas and energy. And next week, I'll be talking with Rob about the specific dates and how you can get involved and kind of unpacking this really exciting initiative. So maybe on your calendars, you can mark Wednesday the 11th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Cotton Building, and then Thursday the 12th of October from 4 to 6 at Fort Worden Commons. And we'll learn more next week on Thursday.
That sounds really interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay.